everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, a very happy, healthy 2013. It is January 8th, and we're back. I've been off for a couple of weeks, and it's been nice to take a break, actually, and now I'm really excited to get back and talk about my favorite subject, say it with me, food. And all that food has to do with our health, the environment, and the animals that we choose to not eat. Okay, I wanted to remind you about my nonprofit and my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and I just posted my top 10 real favorite cookbooks. So if you would like to find out which ones those are, you can go to the website. You'll see it right on the front page, and it links to many of the interviews that I've done in 2012 here on the Progressive Radio Network with all kinds of wonderful foodies that have created delicious, healthy, inspiring recipes. Let's move on. I have someone very special here in the studio. It's my friend Linda Long, and she has had a lifelong relationship with the food industry, starting as a waitress and a short order cook at the age of 12 in her parents' truck stop in Pennsylvania, a home economist who taught high school foods in early part of her career and spending a decade in the resort hotel business. Linda has been a committed vegan for over 30 years. I'm going to give her a big round of applause. Yay. Here. 30 years. Okay, well, she's got some great credits, and she's the author of Great Chefs Cook Vegan, and she's got a very brand new baby new book out called Virgin Vegan, and we're going to be talking about that today. Virgin Vegan, the meatless guide to pleasing your palate. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay.
It is a little book. It's a tiny book.
It's not that tiny, actually, but it looks like it's packed with all kinds of worthwhile information. So let's talk about this. Okay. You've been a committed vegan for 30 years. Why did you think that the world needed Virgin Vegan?
Well, I have to give my editor credit for naming it. I really must. I combated it a little bit because I was wondering how I was going to go through the rest of my life saying virgin vegan. I said, you have to purse your lips and then you have to make a smile to say the two words. And I went on and on, but I have to say they know what they're doing. Gibb Smith is the publisher. Well, my other book, Great Chefs Cook Vegan, was for, it was very high end. It was the most elite chefs in the country. And it's still one of the few books, if maybe the only book of that level in the vegan bookshelf right now. But what I really wanted to do was to go to the complete other end and have a book that was more like a primer, where it was a real starter. And all the books I saw in the market were really full of great information, and they really were for beginners. But the people I was talking to a lot, like my doorman here in New mm-hmm. York City, mm-hmm. A lot of people who just never buy a book that looks like it's an awful lot of chapters to read, and you have to put, like, the protein section has to, you have to go through maybe, you know, 15 pages or whatever. This one, my protein chapter is one page, the calcium page is one page, and the book is only the size of half of a copy paper, although it is hardcover.
Took a long time to put it together.
It did, because I did video talks to go with it. Hmm. And I'm happy to say that up on YouTube right now is a video I did with you. In Lincoln, and that's perfect to sing because it was in front of Lincoln Center.
That's right, one of my favorite spots on earth.
Yes, it's a lot of creativity flowing through the air at Lincoln Center. And it's a book that answers those first questions that the first person, or that a person might first have when they're thinking, well, maybe I should think about this plant-based thing.
Well, what I like is, and something that I try to do, and I have to underline try because I know I get all wrapped up in whatever I'm talking about, but most people are very overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with all the media sound bites. It's very confusing, and unless you're really following it every minute, with all the studies that are going on, everything you hear can be very, very confusing. But a lot of it seeps in, and so people have a little bit of language about food, and they use that all the time, even though they don't know what they're talking about. And I don't think they need to know either. The thing about eating healthy and eating vegan, and I think those are synonymous, eating healthy and eating vegan. Well, you could eat vegan and not eat healthy, but okay.
That's true.
Eating healthy vegan.
You know, because sugar and
Coke and French fries
and
are
that.
Vegan.
Yeah.
Boo. Yeah. But it's simple. You go to the produce section and you grab the fruits and vegetables, and it's easy to throw them together and make some delicious food. It's not hard to eat vegan.
Well, what I've done in the book is under soups and under salads, I did something called the anatomy of a salad. And then I did the anatomy of soup. And so what I've done is divided up into what the components are of each of those. And on page 60 is the anatomy of a soup. And so really, anybody could take that page, go to their refrigerator, and create their own recipe.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, I need something from this category, and I need something from this category, and something from that. And before long, they have developed their soup. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with the recipe, actually, as long as they use vegetable broth or water instead of course, mm-hmm. beef or chicken broth. And then a really neat thing to do, and this has been my favorite thing for a long time, and I'm just so surprised that I don't see it done more often, is that before I start my soup, I'll see, do I have any almonds, or do I have some cashews, or do I have some peanuts, raw, not mm-hmm. roasted, and not salted either. Well, you could, but it's best not to. I just grab a couple handfuls, put it in my blender, cover it with hot water, and just let it soak while I'm going on to do mm-hmm. everything else. And when the soup is completely finished, I push the trigger mm-hmm. of the blender, and I just let that whip until it's a cream. Add a little bit more water if you need to, if it looks like it's getting a little too thick, because it depends on what nut you're using. And then just pour it in the soup, and you have the most wonderful creamy. You've upped the protein. You've upped the flavor. And for years, I've been doing this, and people tell me, you're in my will for this soup. And I said, I swear I'll never be able to make it again, because I used just certain components, whatever was in my refrigerator, which vegetables in my refrigerator, what grain or bean was in my refrigerator, whatever.
We have a lot of soup recipes on the Responsible Eating and Living website, and like you said, we never make the same soup again. And I know that some people get frustrated because they might read a recipe and they say, well, I don't have Herbe de Provence in my cupboard, or I don't have a certain herb or whatever. And like you said, it's very flexible. You just need some basics, and you really throw it together. But I guess for some people, when they're starting out, they need to follow.
Yes, and that's why it was, I really did take an effort to write that soup I just described mm-hmm. down. And then I can even be clever if I have peanuts and I have some sweet potatoes, and I call it my African soup.
But mm-hmm. I had it.
I forgot you did. Mm-hmm. But if I have cashews, and then I might use white potatoes, because it then seems to be a little bit, not that you couldn't use mm-hmm. sweet potatoes, because superfood of the world, sweet potatoes. But every now and then I like to, you know, mix it up. And John Robbins does a great one in his book,
May
All Be Fed. And he allowed me to put that recipe in this book too. And it's a kind of a bisque. And, mm-hmm. white potatoes and cashews and lots of onions and parsley and leeks.
Well, we had a big holiday party at the end of the year, and then we left for California. So we put a bunch of stuff in the freezer. And when I got back, I took some of them out, and I wasn't sure what everything was. And one of it turned out to be a vegetable broth with a little cashew cream in it, because I don't think we wanted to put them in two separate containers. And we made a great soup out of it, just like what you said. And it was just, it wasn't even a lot of cashew cream. It was just rinsing out what was lingering in the container that we had used.
Yes, it makes all the flavor.
But just lovely. Just that tickle or that hint of cream really ties it all together. And it's important, especially when you have some vegetables that have fat-soluble nutrients, because I don't like using a lot of oil, but I like using fats that have fiber and are from whole foods, and they help those fat-soluble vitamins go down.
Yes. Yes. Well, I've done something similar with a veggie burger, because when people are starting out, that's the first thing
burger?
They think about.
Yes,
it, you know.
Right.
And so I have a section called Six Ways with a Veggie Burger. And the truth is, you can make it very elegant as mm-hmm. well, with some gravy, kind of like I call it a little Salisbury steak with some mashed potatoes and some lovely vegetables and gravy. But I've also mentioned a stew, a taco, a burrito, of course, a regular burger. And I might say that you contributed a wonderful recipe for the book called a V-blat.
Ah, the V-blat.
The V-blat, which has avocado and vegan bacon on it. And
it's very good. I have to say that my partner, Gary DeMattei, helped me. We put that together. And he does quite a lot of cooking at home, too. He does more of the comfort, satisfying man foods. And I kind of strive for the no salt, no sugar, no oil, light, really pure, clean stuff. And so we have a nice mix. But thank you for including that.
That one is really good. I love it. And what is nice to for the starter is that this is really a replacement for the BLT.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the A part of BLT, B-L-A-T, like we said, V is for vegan, B-L-A-T, the A is for avocado. So.
Right. And I don't know what it is, but there's this big movement for bacon these days. A lot of people are just going
so
nuts
sad.
Over bacon. And it's a sad thing indeed because, mm-hmm. okay, it's not healthy. And pigs are super intelligent, sensitive beings. They're smarter than dogs. And yet we don't mind cramming them in unhealthy, odorful
metal crates.
Just horrible, cramped, filthy conditions. And they're very sensitive to smell. And they're living in this ammonia-filled environment because we don't do much with their urine and their excrement in the place
right.
that they're. And people
right.
don't connect that to mm-hmm. bacon. And what bacon is just really salt and fat primarily.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I tell a lot of people, you know, what do you like about bacon? And they say, well, the taste. Well, what is the taste? Well, the taste is smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Aha! We can have a smoky taste without ever injuring or torturing
yeah.
a beautiful being. And you can even get bottles of smoke, liquid smoke, with a little drop or two. You can buy tempeh bacon. You can buy soy bacon and some of these other things.
There's a recipe for coconut bacon that looks amazing. It's I have yet to make, but it makes sense because coconut has all that fat. And just salt it and smoke it up and
right.
You got bacon.
Yeah, you can really have it. And lots of people say, oh, I tasted it. I tasted some of the vegan bacons and I don't like it. First of all, try all of them because mm-hmm. people like different brands of anything, not just vegan products. But the other point is try it in something because then you're just going for the taste.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I found a friend who likes it in her sandwich. But she doesn't like just to eat it, you
mm-hmm.
know, which is fine, you know, have it that way.
Right, perfectly fine. The other thing is, which you probably know, working in different food service environments over your life, is that people need to try a food numerous times before they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that because most of the time it happened when we were little kids and said, what's that? Or I don't want
yes.
that. And then just have a bite of it, just try it.
Yes.
And, you know, after 5, 6, 7, 8 times, all of a sudden we're eating it.
Yes. Well, I've often told people, you know, there's a lot of brands of cornflakes, and I bet you don't like every one. And it's just one of those things where we get accustomed to things. I used to hate lima beans when I was young. And then I happened to get a lima bean in my mouth when I was a young adult, and I said, oh, my goodness, this is not what I remembered it tasting like. So it is.
The other thing is when you move to a healthier diet and you eliminate certain things, your taste buds become far more sophisticated.
Yes.
And you can taste yes. more things that you didn't taste before.
Yes, absolutely. One of the other questions I'm asked a lot, which I'm sure you are too, is that how do you order in a mainstream restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people really have to eat out with their friends. You're not going to go to a vegan restaurant every time you go out to eat.
That's right.
And so I really gave suggestions, and some of it was offered to me by some little hints by a dear friend, Master Chef Eric Blauberg, who had been at O21 Club and a lot of wonderful places, and he's a consultant and really shakes up the mainstream world a little bit by telling them they have to have vegan options on the menu because vegans eat with meat eaters. And if you're not satisfying the vegan, you're going to lose that tabletop forever.
That's right.
And so that's really good. But what I've done is that there's on page 16, there is a chart that a friend of mine created, Inger Lonbow, and she travels around the world as a vegan in lots of different languages. She wrote, she did a little chart of like a pig, a chicken, a fish, and then even the milk is coming out, and then there's milk in a can underneath, and then put little red X's over those things so that in any language the chef gets it. Plus it creates a little humor in the thing so that they know, because lots of people, if you say I'm vegan, I don't eat any animal products, well, then their mind can kind of go blank. What you need to say immediately after that, what I prefer to eat is, and then mention, beans, rice, or any other kind of grain, vegetables, fruit, nuts, you know, then they can start to think about what to offer you.
Okay.
And so this can be printed out too. There's a website for the book called virginvegan.com. And all of the extra recipes, we were over 100 pages. So I got very ambitious for a small book. So they're going to be on the site. It's in the process of being created right now. The website is actually up and the content is being filled. The video talks, even though, I interviewed Dr. Esselstyn and Dr. Campbell and Dr. Clapper and a lot of very notable vegan chefs and other cookbook authors and nutritionists and athletes. I just would really, and I don't want to embarrass you on the air, Karen, but I really want to mention that your video is up right now.
So you can go to YouTube. You can't embarrass
me. You can go to YouTube and just write in Virgin Vegan and see there's about 8 up so far, but I have a whole lot more coming.
I'm going to post it on my site.
We've done almost 50 so far. And but the reason I'm pointing yours out is that because of the challenge you had health-wise that was extremely serious for a young woman, and as you talk about sitting in the front of Lincoln Center, as we mentioned before, what you suggest to people to prevent chronic illnesses and those who have chronic illnesses is invaluable. I mean, it was one thing for me to talk to a lot of doctors and all that sort of thing, but to talk to somebody who's actually been through this, you really moved my heart.
Thank you.
And the inspiration.
Well, what's important about your book is it really gently, safely, easily opens the door. And once people kind of get over that, there is just mountains of information if they want it, if they need
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And if they're having a health crisis, you know, something I learned, there's a bunch of vegans out there, and I might have been one of them, that felt like I was invulnerable. Nothing could get me because I was super vegan woman. And then, you know, by the way, I got advanced ovarian cancer. And nobody gets out of this world alive. I like to say that a lot. And just because we're vegan doesn't mean we're not going to have issues. And there have been a number of vegans in the activist community that have unfortunately fallen ill. And what I've come up with is all of this great information that we've put out there. When you really put a focus on it, you can find ways to heal. And there are ways to just eat vegan and eat healthfully and happily. And then if you need to up it a notch to get to a place where you want to be, to get over something, you can do that too. And your book is like the beginning of the yellow brick road.
Yes.
Before you make it to Oz.
That's what I wanted it to be, because I kept recommending so many books. Many of them are my friends, to people, and they just didn't get them. And then I thought, why is this? And they said, oh, I saw it. It was so much to read. And I thought, aha.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have had talking points. We've all sat and talked with another friend about being vegan, and we know the questions they ask. We know how simple we have to make the answers when you're only, like, over dinner, perhaps.
Right.
And so that's what, after 36, almost, well, going on 37 years now being vegan, I really kind of have it down as to how to answer those questions. So that's all this was. And when I realized what I was talking to my doorman about was actually working, that he actually implemented it. And then I realized. And when Gibbs Smith called me to say, well, we had this idea of doing a beginner's book or whatever. And at first I thought it was strange because I did that elegant book. And so they said, we think that this would be really a good thing on the bookshelf. And because I had just been thinking about it, it was one of those synergy things going on. And so I said yes. But then all the other aspects started with the website and doing all the video talks, and you know, so it's been very exciting.
Well, I can imagine it's challenging because there's more and more information out there about diet. We all think we know a lot. We really know very little. But to keep it very simple, there's just so much information. It's challenging.
Yeah, and once they start with this book, then they'll be ready for all those other books.
Okay. Well, we just have a few more minutes left, so what else can we point out in here? Now, you've got everything.
Do you want me to tell you about a few recipes?
Sure.
Well, I know that one of the biggest things is that people want to know, you know, how can you have pancakes? How can you have some of your favorite sweets? And how can you have a holiday meal? And there are books, separate books, on all of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once they see what's in this book, they'll be ready for all those other books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to set people up to feel safe to stick their toe in. And then I want to be sure that all those other vegan books sell, too, because there's so much offerings out there now. I found my friend Fran Costigan telling me, oh, you know, I just had my soaked oats. And I said, what? She said, my soaked oats. Well, all she does the night before is put some oatmeal in a bowl and puts some soy milk on top of it and puts it in the refrigerator. And in the morning, if she wants to, she can sweeten it with some maple syrup. Mm-hmm. I love blackstrap molasses because it even has a lot of calcium in it. And throw in some nuts and fruit if you want. I thought it sounded terrible until I had it. I can't believe it. I mean, it's so hard for me to go to bed now before I have my oats soaking in the refrigerator.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you, Fran Costigan.
I think the British do that, only with milk.
Oh, do they?
Cow's milk.
Yeah. And then I had a chef from Great Chefs Cook Vegan in Grand Rapids, Joseph Huber. He made an elaborate chocolate stuffed French toast with rolled in Rice Krispies. Well, the recipe goes on forever. But I simplified it and made it something so easy to do. And so that was another one. That would be like a Sunday brunch. And then for holiday, I have been making a cashew nut roast that has it's a terrine, which means that it's in a loaf pan and you put half of the mixture and then you put a different mixture for the middle, not quite as
high layers,
you know, then another layer on top and you're done. Well, Rose Elliott, who's a great vegetarian cook, she's kind of the Martha Stewart of vegetarian cookbook authoring in England. And I got her book at Harrods a long time ago, and I'd made this for many, many years, and I bought any book she put out. Well, I decided, why don't I even see if I can contact her, that I can use this recipe that I've used every year for about 20 years. And now we're good email pals. So I feel like I have my rock star, you know, fancy vegan cook, where she's not vegan. She's vegetarian, but mostly vegan. But even that is on page 164, and I highly recommend it because it's so easy to do. And then I mentioned a sweet. There's some peanut butter cups that my friend Jane Bell, the home economist in Columbus, Ohio, gave me. And she truly makes these in a few minutes. And you can use a little cookie cutter to actually make them look like cups or just cut them into squares. Let me tell you, I don't have time myself to do the little round cookie cutter. That is one. Cut these in squares and get them out of the pan and eat them. So there's just a lot to offer is a variety. But I tried to choose things that were familiar that you could then substitute.
Right, like how easy it is to make gravy.
Oh, my goodness. A bouillon cube and then throw in some cornstarch water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't really do anything else.
Because what they don't realize is when they're using chicken stock, for example, what they're getting out of it mostly is salt.
Yeah, yes, yes. Now, bouillon cubes, I really like to mention it. One of my favorite ones is very salty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend not to use a little bit more water than I'm supposed to, and I'm not sure that really changes it all that much. But they do put out bouillon cubes that have flavorings in it and even herbs without salt. So that's a good one to get, and then salt it to your liking. So don't be put off by all bouillon cubes have too much salt. Get the one without salt.
Well, this is where it gets overwhelming again, because people go to a vegan diet or are curious about a vegan diet for lots of different reasons. So if you're curious, just because you're curious, then, you know, get this book, make all the recipes, and venture out and buy whatever other ones. But if you're having a health crisis, let's say, that's a different focus, and you might be thinking about eliminating sugar, salt, and oil.
Absolutely.
If you want to lose weight, that's a different focus. If you just don't want to kill animals, well, you know, you could be fine with Coke and French fries, although I don't recommend it. It really depends on what your focus is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing is, with vegan food, you can have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when I did Great Chefs Cook Vegan, and then I kept remembering one of the great chefs of the world actually is Von Gerichten. Jean-Georges Von Gerichten. For a moment, I forgot his first name. He said to me, "You mean I can use any plant food?" And I thought he was about to tell me, "Oh, but that's so limiting." When I realized his next breath was, "Oh, my goodness," his hands in the air, and he's either wide apart. And he said, "Where do I begin? It's such a vast area."
Yeah, vast.
And then he says, you know, there's only a few animals, and we get tired of cooking the animals. There's only a few things to do with those animals. But when you tell me plant-based food, so what I say to people is, you know, the standard American diet is what is limiting. Take a look at what you eat in mm-hmm. a week and tell me, and then you repeat it week after week after week. Some people have almost the same thing every day, every day, every day. That's limiting.
I just did a crazy thing. It's not a crazy thing, but I like things organized. And one of the things about eating so that you're satisfied is to plan ahead and organize. Make sure you have the right ingredients, the right this and that. It can be really simple in one pot with a few cans, but you know, if you want to follow a recipe, it's helpful to have a well-stocked kitchen. And just recently, I bought all these tins, and I invested in bulk organic herbs and spices. I've got everything now in this great cabinet, and it's really a lot of fun because you can use the same ingredients, like you said, the mirepoix, the carrots, onions, and celery, and put different herbs and spices, and you have completely different dishes every day just on how you season it.
Yes. Once you take the first step and then follow one of my recipes or anyone else's recipes, then you start to see what adjustments you could make. And I'm surprised how lots of people, even in the beginning, they'll look at a recipe and they say, "Oh, I don't have this. Maybe I'll substitute less than so." Well, that's very nice. That's very bold for some. Others have to do it exactly the way the recipe mm-hmm. says. But once you feel the confidence, then you start to see, "Oh, well, that's a vegetable. If it's corn, well, I could probably use lima beans too, or I could use edamame, you know, soybeans, or I could use whatever's on hand." And, especially chili. My goodness, you don't have to use kidney beans. You can use black beans. You can use all kinds of other beans as well. And, there is a recipe in there for black bean chili from my high school friends in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, Bob and Tom Boak, and they have a restaurant there. And so I've been trying to get them to include, you know, vegan options on their menus because it really does bring in people who are not vegan.
Linda, thank you. Really. Yeah. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, for writing this great book. And if you're still a virgin when it comes to food and haven't stepped out into the vegan world, this book is for you. You're definitely going to enjoy it. The Meatless Guide to Pleasing Your Palate. Vegan Virgin, virginvegan.com. Is that the
yes.
website?
Yes.
Virginvegan.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take the plunge. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we'll be right back with Charlene Spritnak. She's another Progressive Radio Network host, and we're going to be talking in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.